By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to another morning with Madani Channel. Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. Another morning of rise and shine. Yes, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal. The sun is out, as you can see behind me. The sun is, yes, that really is only a picture, Madani viewers. Now, nevertheless, the sun is out, Madani viewers of Madani Channel. Remember, whatever the weather conditions, we must thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. But nevertheless, alhamdulillah, the program is as bright as usual. We always begin by listening to the beautiful verses of the Holy Quran. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, please do remember that whilst the Quran is being recited, then it is our job to give our full attention to the recitation of the Holy Quran. And this does come along with the Urdu translation, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. Now, the translation, as I said, yes, is in the Urdu language. So those who do understand that language are at an advantage. But those who don't, it doesn't matter. Why? Because, alhamdulillah, firstly, you shall be listening to the Arabic, my dear viewers. And secondly, even by listening, just listening to the Quran, we gain reward. And this is the beauty of the glorious Quran, alhamdulillah, that we may not understand it, but just by listening to it, we shall, inshallah, gain reward. And also, yes, please do remember that just listening to the Quran is not enough, my dear viewers. We need to open up the Quran ourselves, read, recite the glorious Quran ourselves, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. We need to, yes, we need to learn. If you don't know how to recite the Quran, we need to learn how to recite the Quran properly, inshallah. Being a Muslim, we are Muslims, aren't we? And being a Muslim, my dear viewers, how can we call ourselves Muslims and not know how to read the Quran? Allahu Akbar. Please do make the intention to read the Quran regularly. But for now, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, let's just, inshallah, listen to the recitation of the Holy Quran. Sallu al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
میں اللہ تعالیٰ کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے.
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم.
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا.
فلما عتوا عما نهوا عنه قلنا لهم كونوا قردة خاسئين.
پھر جب انہوں نے ممانعت کے حکم سے سرکشی کی ہم نے ان سے فرمایا ہو جاؤ بندر دتکارے یعنی دتکارے ہوئے.
وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ لَيَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ يَسُومُهُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ.
اور جب تمہارے رب نے حکم سنا دیا کہ ضرور قیامت کے دن تک ان پر ایسے کو بھیجتا رہوں گا جو انہیں بری مار چکھائے.
اِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَسَرِيعُ الْعِقَابِ وَإِنَّهُ لَغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمِ.
بے شک تمہارا رب ضرور جلد عذاب والا ہے اور بے شک وہ بخشنے والا مہربان ہے.
وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُمَمًا منهم الصالحون ومنهم دون ذلك.
اور انہیں ہم نے زمین میں متفرق کر دیا گروہ گروہ ان میں کچھ نیک ہیں اور کچھ اور طرح کے.
وبلوناهم بالحسنات والسيئات لعلهم يرجعون.
اور ہم نے انہیں بھلائیوں اور برائیوں سے آزمایا کہ کہیں وہ رجوع لائیں.
فخلف من بعدهم خلف ورثوا الكتاب يأخذون عرض هذا الأدنى ويقولون سيغفر لنا.
پھر ان کی جگہ ان کے بعد وہ نا خلف آئے کہ کتاب کے وارث ہوئے اس دنیا کا مال لیتے ہیں اور کہتے اب ہماری بخشش ہوگی.
وَإِن يَأْتِهِمْ عَرَضٌ مِثْلُهُ يَأْخُذُوهُ.
اور اگر ویسا ہی مال ان کے پاس اور آئے تو لے لیں.
أَلَمْ يُؤْخَذْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِيثَاقُ الْكِتَابِ أَلَّا يَقُولُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْحَقَّ وَدَرَسُوا مَا فِيهِ.
کیا ان پر کتاب میں عہد نہ لیا گیا کہ اللہ کی طرف نسبت نہ کریں مگر حق اور انہوں نے اسے پڑھا.
والدار الآخرة خير للذين يتقون أفلا تعقلون.
اور بے شک پچھلا گھر یعنی آخرت بہتر ہے پرہیزگاروں کو تو کیا تمہیں عقل نہیں.
والذين يمسكون بالكتاب وأقاموا الصلاة إنا لا نضيع أجر المصلحين.
اور وہ جو کتاب کو مضبوط تھامتے ہیں اور انہوں نے نماز قائم رکھی ہم نیکوں کا نیک یعنی ثواب نہیں گواتے یعنی ضائع نہیں کرتے.
وَإِذْ نَتَقْنَا الْجَبَلَ فَوْقَهُمْ كَأَنَّهُ ظُلَّةٌ وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُ وَاقِعٌ.
اور جب ہم نے پہاڑ ان پر اٹھایا گویا وہ سائبان ہے اور سمجھے کہ وہ ان پر گر پڑے گا.
خذوا ما آتیناکم بقوت واذکروا ما فیہ لعلکم تتقون.
لو جو ہم نے تمہیں دیا زور سے اور یاد کرو جو اس میں ہے کہ کہیں تم پرہیزگار ہو.
وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِن بَنِي آدَمَ مِن ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ.
اور اے محبوب یاد کرو جب تمہارے رب نے اولاد آدم کی پشت سے ان کی نسل نکالی اور انہیں خود ان پر گواہ کیا کیا میں تمہارا رب نہیں سب بولے کیوں نہیں ہم گواہ ہوئے کہ کہیں قیامت کے دن کہو کہ ہمیں اس کی خبر نہ تھی.
صدق اللہ العظیم.
صلوا علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلی آلہ وسلم. ریویوز و مندر انشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ عز و جل. You are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah, we just listened to some verses from Surah A'raf. Now, Alhamdulillah, عز و جل. My ریویوز و مندر انشاءاللہ, Surah A'raf, Alhamdulillah, it's around about 200 ayat, and we are on, I think, ayat number 172, which means that, again, Alhamdulillah, we have nearly completed Surah Al-A'raf, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. And this is only how many minutes was it? Possibly 3-4, let's just say 5 minutes. And we've completed nearly a third of the glorious Quran. Well, it doesn't mean we completed it only in 5 minutes, meaning after some time, yes, it's been, you know, possibly nearly a year. Well, in fact, not even nearly a year, 6 months or so it's been, half a year. And this is how much we have completed, Alhamdulillah. And this shows us, my dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, it's not about just one day, just trying to read as much as you can and then stopping. Because how much are you going to be able to read? If it's a person who's the Hafiz of Quran, yes, maybe you can read the entire Quran in one day. But for a general, for an ordinary person, he'll only be able to read one part, maybe two parts. If he's really putting his head down, let's just say me personally, I, to be honest, I don't know, I've never tried to sisters read so much of the glorious Quran all at once. But I'm thinking I'll possibly only be able to read about three parts, you know, before I become tired and I think, you know, I think I need a rest, so I'll do something else. How much can we do? How much can we read, my dear viewers? So it's not all about just doing it for one day and reading lots in one day, no. Yes, even if you're able to fulfill three paras, but if you're only to give about 5 minutes every day, not one day give hours, 6-7 hours, but rather every day, don't even give 1 hour. Well, if you can, it's good, give 1 hour. But if you, you know, if you really think, I don't have much time whatsoever, give 5 minutes. And within those 5 minutes, my dear viewers and mothers, inshallah, on a daily basis, the amount you can achieve, no doubt, is much more. Why? With steadfastness. With steadfastness, my dear viewers and mothers, inshallah, you can attain anything. Alhamdulillahi azzawajal. So this is what's important. It's not all about reading within one day. No. Slowly reading. Reading regularly. And inshallah azzawajal, this shall, you shall reap, inshallah azzawajal, the fruit. It may be over a long duration. But inshallah azzawajal, when the time comes, you shall be satisfied. You shall be pleased. You shall be happy. This is what success is, my dear viewers, inshallah. Remember, the initial order of prayer was 50. Now, 50 prayers. How difficult is that? No doubt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. But yet, He began with 50. The first order was 50. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back, he came down to 45, to 40, 35, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, and then 5, my dear viewers of the Nishan. It came down to 5 prayers. But just reading those 5 prayers, you still gain the reward of 50. One is 10 times its reward, just by reciting one, just by reading one. Madhi views of Madhani Shalom, this small amount, doing it regularly is what's important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not overburdened us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only made 5 prayers farz upon us. And it's not difficult. Some people think it's difficult. No. Really, those people who pray, they would not say it's difficult. Those people who pray their salah would not say it's difficult. Yes, they would say that, oh, okay, now due to maybe a change in a timetable, or now it's becoming a bit hard for me, because let's just say due to other things too, I'm going to work, or now, or because I was ill, so last night it was hard for me. Yes, these things they have. But overall, reading the 5 daily prayers, for a person who regularly reads his 5 daily prayers, he will not say it's difficult. Only those people who they wish to excuse themselves from prayer, they wish to make up excuses, they will say that it's difficult. And the same with reciting the Quran for 5 minutes a day. A person who reads the Quran every morning, he will say, no, it's not difficult. I wake up, I'm performing my ablution anyway, so some may read after Fajr Salah, but let's just say you make it a habit to read before you go out to work. I think, I wake up in the morning, I'm going to wash my face, brush my teeth anyway, I might as well just perform my ablution. I'll perform my ablution, I'm feeling good, you know, I'm feeling cheerful, I might as well open the Quran for a few minutes, for 5 minutes, for 10 minutes maybe. And I enjoy reading the Quran. Whilst I'm reading it, I think, yes, I want to read it longer. Maybe I'll miss my breakfast and just read this and then just go straight out to work. Those who read it will never say it's difficult. But those people who do not will say, oh no, it's too hard. You know, I wake up, I have to quickly eat, I have to get out. No, I'm just doing things quickly. Things shouldn't be done quickly. This is another thing. Things should not be done quickly, my dear viewers. Even breakfast is an important part of our daily lives. It's a very important part of our daily lives. We shouldn't rush and have our breakfast. No, we should be able to sit down, calmly, relaxed, you know, maybe make breakfast, and then, or maybe our mothers will be making it for us, our spouses, anybody, somebody else may make it for us. Or we're making it ourselves. But you should be able to take your time and make it, to clean up after yourself. And then sit down, relax, to think about things. And yes, have your breakfast. But if you're going to quickly get up, you're going to quickly wash your face, you know, possibly quickly brush your teeth, you'll run down, or I need to heat the milk and things are all over. How is your day beginning? This is what we need to think about, because it does have an effect on your entire day. You know, when you rush things first thing in the morning, it's going to affect your entire day. Whereas if you were to wake up 10 minutes earlier, 20 minutes earlier, relax, do things nice and slowly, nice and slowly. Honestly, inshallah azza wa jal, I can assure you that inshallah azza wa jal, your day will be much smoother, much easier, much better, inshallah azza wa jal. My dear viewers of Madani channel, alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we have listened to beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. Let's now move on to the Naat Sharif of the greatest of all mankind. What is the Naat Sharif? Naat Sharif is a description, praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear viewers, let's listen to the Naat Sharif. If you are aware of the words, please do read along. If you're not aware, no problem. Enjoy yourself. Listen to the recitation of the Naat of the Kalam, inshallah azza wa jal. Let's first listen to the Naat Sharif, inshallah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم.
Goodness and peace and blessings countlessly, eternally upon your beloved, the best of creation.
Muhammadun Sayyidul Kaunaini wa Faqalaini. Muhammadun Sayyidul Kaunaini wa Faqalaini wal Fari. قيني من عرب ومن عجمي
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا
آپ ہیں حضرت محمد سرور ہر دو سرا
آپ ہیں عرب و عجم جن و بشر کے پیشوا
آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
محمد is the leader of both worlds, both creation.
Muhammad is the leader of both worlds, both creation.
And even both groups, Arabs and Rajam.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا
آپ ہیں محبوب حق اور شافع روز جزا
ناگہانی آفتوں میں آپ کا ہے آسرا
آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
He is the beloved whose intercession is hoped.
For in every sudden calamity,
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib.
بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به يا أكرم الخلق ما لي من ألوذ به سواك عند حلول الحديث العملي
اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ اکرم المخلوق مانگو اور میں کس سے پناہ حادثات عام میں ہے آپ میری تکیہ گاہ آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
Oh, most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. Oh, most noble of creation, I've learned to seek refuge. In other than you and universal calamities descend.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها فإن من جودك الدنيا وضرتها ومن علومك علم اللوح والقلم
بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم بے شبہ دونوں جہاں ہے آپ کا جود و کرم آپ کے کل علم کا ایک جزو ہے لوح و قلم
آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. So indeed the world and the hereafter are from your grace. And part of your knowledge is the knowledge of the preserved tablet and the pen.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا يا ربي بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم
اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ اے خدا دیتا ہوں تجھ کو مصطفیٰ کا واسطہ پورے فرما سب مقاصد بخش دے میرے گناہ
آپ پر لاکھوں درود اور آپ پر لاکھوں سلام
Oh my Rab, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. Oh my Rab, by the chosen one, fulfill our wishes. And forgive us for what has passed.
Mawlaya salli wa sallim da'iman abadan ala habib. بك خير الخلق كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Many views of the channel. MashaAllah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. You know, it's just become so much brighter, the program has. Just generally myself too. It's as if it's, you know, brought me off my feet. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal. That's how much I personally just enjoy this kalam. Qasida Burda. In three languages, alhamdulillah. Well, sort of, you can say in three languages, it is a near translation and in some ways a translation too into the English language, Madi Views of Madani channel. But mashallah, just a Qasida Burda Sharif itself, so beautiful. So beautiful. And it's something which I don't think there's any of you out there that are listening to it for the first time. It's something which you must have heard so many times. No doubt about it, my dear viewers, infants, babies, we generally play, don't we? Well, sadly, there are some people who would play music and all sorts of things, but these are the sort of things that they should be listening to. The name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar, mashallah, so beautiful, my dear viewers, inshallah. But if you can listen to it every day, inshallah, there's so much barakah, by the way, just reciting this Qasida Burda Sharif. And remember, it's not only now here, it was only the Arabic which was the actual Qasida Burda Sharif. The English was a translation to it. But my dear viewers, I think there were about four verses recited, but it seemed so long because it was in three different languages. But I think, if I remember correctly, there were about four verses which were recited. Now, people will think that this is what the Qasida Burda is. You know, it's only four verses. It's not. Rather, there's 100+. There's just over 100 verses, actually, of the Qasida Burda Sharif. And we wouldn't have possibly heard of them all. I doubt we would have heard of them all, my dear viewers. I've never heard of them all. I've only just read them. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. Once I was blessed, alhamdulillah, in fact, not even once, twice, to go to the beautiful, mashallah, mausoleum, you can say, the beautiful shrine of the writer, the composer of the Qasida Burda Sharif, this is the Imam Busairi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And honestly, this is such a Qasida. This is possibly the most famous. It's said that the teacher of Imam Busairi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a great scholar. And he said he had three great students. And he said to, you know, there was amongst another student was Hazrat Izzuddin ibn Abdus Salam. Hazrat Izzuddin. And there was a third, I can't remember the third. The third name is not coming to mind as of yet. But he says to Hazrat Izzuddin, rahimahullah ta'ala, that your knowledge shall spread across the world. And no doubt it has. He's such a great scholar. And he says to Hazrat Imam Busairi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, your poetry shall become renowned all over the world. And especially this one, no doubt it has. Allahu Akbar, the Qasidat al-Burda Sharif, where people, I saw when I was there, that people were coming from all over the world. I can say all over the world. From various different countries, people of so many different languages. But they would all recite the Qasida Burda Sharif in the Arabic language. They would all recite it in their own language. Although they had their different ways of reciting it. Yes, they had their different tunes, they would recite it in their own ways. But alhamdulillah, I would just sit there, honestly, and I was just loving it. I was trying to read, alhamdulillah, I did read the entire 100 verses in front of the Blessed Shrine. But you know, whenever somebody would come in, I would just stop and I would listen to them. Because whoever would come in, subhanAllah, they would come, they would recite praise upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In which way? In this same way, by reciting the Qasida Burda Sharif. Allahu Akbar. And then they would perform dua for such an amazing person. Alhamdulillah. So medievals, in fact, just one thing which comes to mind. Now, yes, this is not our topic. We are going to come to our topic. But one thing which comes to mind is that true fame, long existing fame, real fame, that's why I say true fame, is and comes from a true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is what we must understand, my dear. This is what we must understand really. Because yes, people become celebrities, but as we see, you know, if a celebrity, well, what are they doing? They are actually enslaving themselves to the public, to the supporters. Where, yes, the supporters love them, but then if they were to do something and the supporters were not to like it, then what would they do? They would become boycotted. You know, many, in fact, not just some, they end up committing suicide. They go on to drugs. This is what happens. But true love, my dear viewers, is love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when you have true love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah fattabi'uni. If you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what? Follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, he is sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the pathway to becoming beloved in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person does attain such a rank, then this is true fame. Look at the Imam Busayri rahimahullahu ta'ala. Most of his life he spent praising, you know, kings and other people. He spent, as people would say, you know, kind of like in jahiliyyah in a way, meaning in wrongdoing. He was a poet, but he would compose all sorts of poetry in praise of others, not in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He once came in front of, you know, the leader and began to recite poetry. There was another person there and he says, you should recite poetry in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that's when this person, he changed. And he began to compose poetry in praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And now that he did, if he didn't, nobody would have heard of him now. We wouldn't know him now, my dear viewers. But because of his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because of the acceptance of this in the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, up until this very day, my dear viewers of Muslim Islam, people recite this or listen to this, and I can say every single day with confidence. I can say every single day with confidence, and the reason why I say it so confidently is because, alhamdulillah, even within jami'at, various jami'at, and not only within the Dawat Islami, and yes, within our Dawat Islami jami'at we have it too, but within various jami'at all across the world, my dear viewers, they begin the day by reciting the Qasida Barda Sharif. And this is the students, and there's others too. So this is something which I can say is read, listened to, heard every single day. No doubt this shows the acceptance of this, poetry, this Qasida, my dear viewers of Muslim Islam, alhamdulillah, this is the Qasida Burda Sharif. And there's a long story behind it, but I don't want to go into that today. Nevertheless, my dear viewers of Muslim Islam, alhamdulillah, please do try to make the most of this day. Make more good intentions. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you shall gain, inshaAllah. We do have a question for the day before we do come to our topic. What is today's question? Today's question is, which prophet split the moon into two pieces? I'm thinking, it's not a very difficult one today, is it? Which prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the moon into two pieces? Yes, the moon. Some people will think, what, you're talking about the moon? Yes, I'm talking about the moon. The moon, my dear viewers, that which many times we see in the night, that which is just so beautiful. Really, we hardly look out for the moon. People used to look out for the moon generally, regularly, but now we hardly look out for the moon. My dear viewers of Madinah, honestly, just take my word for it, I would say. Take my word for it. Look out for the moon, especially at a time when the moon is full, you can say, or towards being full. On the 14th night, my dear viewers, the moon is absolutely full. It's a full moon. And yes, even a few days after, it will be close to full. Honestly, just look at the moon. Why am I saying this? Because I enjoy doing it myself. I enjoy doing it. I wouldn't always do. I'm not going to say, yes, I always do look out for the moon. I don't. But most of the time, you know, sometimes, especially when it's good weather, I'm outside. I love to just look at the moon. And there's something which comes to mind. What is this, my dear viewers? Now remember, the moon is amongst the most beautiful of things. Really, if you're to go and look at it, and you're to continue looking at the moon, you will continue looking at the moon. You'll think, wow, it's so beautiful. You'll think, wow, it's so beautiful. Why I love looking at the moon is because the companions, and this is from companions, have stated about the beauty of the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's even more beautiful than the moon. And they always compared to the moon. Why? Because of the beauty of the moon. It's always compared with the moon. It's even more beautiful than the moon. One companion says, I looked at the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I looked at the moon, and then the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then at the moon, and by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his blessed face is more beautiful than the moon. And I just look at the moon, and this is what I think. Allahu Akbar. That's one reason why I personally, this is one reason why I love looking at the moon. And whenever I do, and this is what always comes to my mind. So when David was really look at the moon, take in the beauty, true beauty of the moon, Allahu Akbar. And then remember that the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is even more beautiful than the moon itself. But my David was mentioned, yes, that same moon, which is like another planet. It's not really a planet, yes, it's a moon. Meaning it's huge. It's absolutely huge, my dear viewers. One of the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had split that moon into two. And my dear viewers, which is the correct answer? You have four options. Option number one, was it the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam? Option number two, was it Hazrat Rasulullah, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam? Option number three, was it Rasulullah Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa sallam? Or option number four, my dear viewers of Madinah inshallah, was it Rasulullah Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa sallam? Which one of these four options, you know, alhamdulillah, these are all from the Mursaleen, these prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Which one of these four is the correct answer? SubhanAllah, just today, we've not even got to the topic as of yet, just introducing the program, we've already come to our daily reminder. Let's inshallah go to our daily reminder and then we shall come to today's topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Abu Malik Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu has narrated that the beloved and blessed Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has said, As-salatu nurun, salah is light. Commenting on the above hadith, Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan alayhi rahmatur rahman has stated, Salah is the light of a Muslim's heart and face. It will be a means of light for him in his grave and on the day of judgment. On the bridge of Sirat, the mark of prostration will serve as a torch. Allah Almighty Azza wa Jal has said, Nuruhum yas'a bayna aydihim. Their light will be running ahead of them. The greatest and noblest Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam has stated, Salah is the pillar of religion. One who establishes it, establishes the religion, and the one who abandons it demolishes the religion. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And reviews of the channel, alhamdulillahi azza jal, that was our daily reminder. And coming to today's topic, my dear viewers of the channel, treating our family members, our relatives well, being kind to them, being merciful, just getting along with them, my dear viewers of the channel, not being two-faced, really, you should never be two-faced anyway, but when it comes to relatives, treating them like family. We need to understand, firstly, they are family. Our own relatives, my dear viewers, they are family. Our own relatives, we need to treat them kindly. We need to treat them with mercy. And, you know, one of the first things that somebody would say, but yes, but them, look what they said to me. Look what they did to me. This is one of the first things where somebody will say, oh, yeah, I try to be kind. I try to be nice to them, but, you know, they don't react the same. Why should I be nice to them? Why should I waste my time? Allahu Akbar. And yes, a person would generally think that, oh, you know, that sounds true. Okay, you've tried, you've done your part, and forget them. You know, what does it matter to us? No, my dear viewers. And then subhanAllah, there's a beautiful example from the seerah of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Afdalul Bashar Ba'd al-Anbiya, the greatest of mankind. This is without any exceptions whatsoever. The greatest of all mankind after the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the companions, he is the greatest. And honestly, subhanAllah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq who is such an individual who, what makes up a person's life, my dear viewers? What makes up a person's life? There is our health, which is one thing, which is one of the most important things, our health. Secondly, generally, there is our wealth. There is our wealth. So health, wealth. These are two things. I'm just thinking, what else is there? Not our, yes, belief, that's a separate matter. But generally, after belief, that is, there's our health and there's our wealth, my dear viewers. These are generally the most important things in our life. Now, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as well as many companions, no doubt about it, they lay down their wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also their health, my dear viewers of Madinah inshallah. They were ready to give everything. In fact, there's another thing which comes to mind. Reputation. Reputation. This is honor. This is very important. Because, you know, some people would say there's no use living without living with honor. You know, people give honor. And yes, it's true. It's very, very important. Not that there's no point in living if you're not living with honor. But meaning, this is just to show the importance of having honor. And alhamdulillahi azza wa jalla, where does our honor come from? This is what's important. Our honor comes from our deen. It comes from our religion. And subhanAllah, this is amongst my most favorite quotes. Once Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was on his way to Palestine when Palestine was being handed over. It was given to Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. It was handed over to the Muslims. They said, we're going to give it to Hazrat Umar himself. He himself is going to come here and we'll give it over, we'll hand it over to him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu makes this journey with one person, one servant, with one servant, not an entire entourage, not an entire army, no, with one servant, one animal. And Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the way, is Hazrat Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He comes out to visit Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab to welcome him and say, like, you know, our army, everybody's ready. The people, they've come out to welcome you too. And then he sees the clothes of Hazrat Umar and he says, but, you know, is this how you're going to go in front of them? It's not going to look nice. They're waiting for the leader. Look how great our army is. You're our leader. If you're going to go like that, what are they going to think? It said that because Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, on the way, there was some sort of puddle and his clothes became, you could say, dirty. His clothes became dirty. And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he replied, he says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهِ فَأَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. He says that we are a people, we are a qawm, a nation. أَعِزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us. How were we honored? With Islam. It is Islam which has granted us honor. فَمَهْمَا إِبْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهِ. So if we are ever to look for any honor in other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then فَأَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall disgrace us. So true honor, just speaking about honor, and this comes to mind. True honor, my dear viewers of Madinah inshallah, comes from Islam, from our deen. So there are three things just to say now. The health, our wealth, and our honor. Three very, very important things. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was ready to give up his health, to give up his wealth, and even to give up his honor. And it wasn't giving up his honor, it was only, you know, elevating him in his rank and his honor. Generally, a person will think, yes, this is, you know, reducing his honor. Let's see, what am I talking about? What example is it? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, what had he done? Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would provide for his own cousin, his own maternal cousin. And the name of his cousin was Hazrat Mista radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Hazrat Mista radiallahu anhu himself was a poor person. He also took part in the Battle of Badr. He also took part in the migration. He was very, very poor, my dear viewers. He was not able to, you know, sustain himself. Now, a time came when Hazrat Mista radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said something. He accused the beloved daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu of a wrongdoing. Something which no doubt was offensive. Something which no doubt had harmed and hurt Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And this is his own cousin doing it. This is his own relative doing this. From all the people, you know, you would understand. Other people, you sometimes, you know, you think, if it was somebody else, I would understand. This is my own relative doing this. My dear viewers, inshallah, let's move to the daily hadith sharif. Inshallah, then we shall continue. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anh states that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man tamassaka bi sunnati 'inda fasadi ummati falahu ajru mi'ati shahidin." The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Whoever holds firmly onto my sunnah at the time of corruption in my ummah, then for him is the reward of 100 martyrs." This hadith is mentioned in Mishkatul Masabih. What is the sharh, the commentary? The ulama have said that fasadi ummati, the time of corruption in my ummah, refers to the time when the sunnah is abandoned or there is a lack of amal upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as for the wordings, 100 martyrs, this indicates towards the fact that acting upon the sunnah at that time will be a great struggle, very difficult. But its reward will be immense. We know the reward of a martyr, subhanallah, before his blood, the drop of blood falls on the floor, he sees his place in Jannah. There are so many ahadith in regards to the fadail of a shaheed. But why does it say 100 martyrs in this hadith? The ulama state that the reason why the Prophet ﷺ said, Ajru mi'ati shaheedin, is because a shaheed, he goes through struggle, no doubt, great difficulty and hardship, and then he tastes martyrdom, but it's only once. As for the one who acts upon the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at that time, he will have to go through difficulty again and again. If he keeps the beard, for example, uses the miswak sharif, grows his hair long in accordance to the sunnah, then people will look at him and they will say things about him. They will discourage him. They will dishearten him. So again and again, he's having to face this hardship. They are disheartening him. They are making him feel down. So this is why he will gain the reward of 100 martyrs, because time and time again he has to struggle all his life until his last breath. He will hear people say wrong things about him. Oh, he's a religious person now. Oh, you're too young to keep a beard. Sometimes, ma'azallah, even the own relatives, parents, siblings are the ones to discourage. So this is why the reward of 100 martyrs has been promised for that person who acts upon the sunnah, who clings firmly to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ at the time of fasad, corruption, when people have left the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to cling on to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. My viewers of Madani channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and Shine. My viewers, we were speaking about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, this great companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there was his own cousin Hazrat Mista radiallahu ta'ala an, who had harmed him, my dear viewers. I'm not sure we've got our respectable Seema who has joined us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
MashaAllah, you've joined us via video call, so I can see you too.
Alhamdulillah, how are you, Shabazz?
Alhamdulillah, Busimba, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen.
Where have you been for so long, Busimba?
It's just been, I haven't been blessed by the honor of joining you. And today, Alhamdulillah. With the mercy of Allah Almighty, Alhamdulillah. How have you been? How's everything, Shabazz?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal. Busimba, we've got a beautiful topic which I've only begun speaking about. Although it's been nearly an hour since we started the program. And the reason for this was I was just so excited having listened to the Qasida Burda Sharif. I just began speaking about that, Allahu Akbar. But today's topic, Busimba, is being good to our relatives. Now, I did begin by mentioning Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, he said that now this cousin of mine, there was his own relative who, you know, sometimes Busimba, it harms it when it's your own people even more. When it's your own people, when it's your own relatives doing it, you know, you think if somebody from outside was to do it, that's understandable. But your own relative doing it, that hurts you even more. And a person can, you know, if he finds it difficult to forgive. But Alhamdulillah, we have an example from the life of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, who he himself said, that's it, now I'm no longer going to give this person money. Remember, it was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu that was financially supporting this person. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq said that now he's done this, I'm not going to support him anymore. And when he said this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, then some verses of the Quran were revealed. And Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, then immediately he says, I wish that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me, and I would never discontinue providing for Hazrat Mistah radhiallahu ta'ala anhu. And therefore, he continued to assist him financially. He continued to support him financially. Now, Busimba, as I was saying, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu, the greatest of all companions, is that individual who his own life he was ready to give for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His own wealth he was ready to give for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a matter of honor, Busimba, wasn't it? It was a matter of honor. And what did Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu do? He immediately went back on his word. Now, if a person gives a word, it's a big thing. But, my dear viewers, because what comes first, the deen, religion, Islam comes first. And sometimes you think, no, it's a matter of honor, that's why I've said it, I have to do it. But what's more important, this, what's in accordance to the religion, this is what we must do. And this not only raised Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu ta'ala anhu in his honor. So this is what people say, that, oh, my cousin, this is what he did. How can I make up with him? A person will think, you know, I'm feeding you, and this is what you're doing. Allahu Akbar. This is what Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radhiallahu anhu went through.
So you gave that nowadays people say that, you know, how can I make up with my cousin or my relative? I do so much for him this way, he said. This is the example when someone actually does something for his relatives. We're talking about a step forward where someone actually goes to the extent of helping out their relatives. And then, of course, that wouldn't even be to the extent of course, with Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But a great lesson for us, again, through this account of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, is that if you want to attain bigger ranks, if you want to attain something, mm-hmm. then of course these sacrifices need to be equally bigger. Ranks require bigger sacrifices. And the issue that, of course, if we analyze our society nowadays, the issues and the problems which we face nowadays is because of our own sort of self-ego, towards which you were referring earlier on, that we self-presume, we presume that we are doing something for our relatives, for our cousins, whereas if you actually delve into it and have a look into it, we wouldn't be paying the rights of our relatives, which Sharia has made obligatory upon us to look after them. You would have come across many children. Now, when we're talking about rights of relatives, of course, the first rights come of the parents. Many children you would have come across that the parents, they're really and really fed up of them. Why? Because, ma'azallah, the children, some of them even go to the extent of swearing at their parents nowadays, astaghfirullah. Mm-hmm. And when you speak to them, that when you try to, you know, guide them to the right path, many a times you would hear them saying that, no, we look after our parents. they're self-presuming these things, and they think mm-hmm. that, you know, we do these things. Now, going back to the example of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, he duly fulfilled the rights of his relatives. He was thoroughly fulfilling them the way it was required him to do. And
mm-hmm.
after that, of course, a verse for him in the Quran was also revealed. And this, again, the golden principle that is laid down for us in regards to looking after our relatives, it, alhamdulillah, purifies our inner self, it purifies our society, it purifies our families, and many of the issues, Shehbaz Bhai, which we face nowadays in the families, which you also referred to earlier on, was that, why should, you know, I look after my cousin, you know, he says this to me, whereas I'm providing support to him. And one of the biggest issues that we face in our families is...
I think what we need to do is, you know, when we are supporting somebody, we need to question ourselves, why are we supporting them? Are we supporting them for them to, you know, repay us, for them to speak good about us? Then that means our intentions are wrong. If we are solely supporting them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then if they've done something to us or not done something to us, it shouldn't matter to us. Why? Because we're not doing it for them, we're doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you think, Wasim bhai?
The ultimate goal is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you're seeking the pleasure of the person or anything else, then of course these feelings actually do come into play, which unfortunately is the case nowadays. So beautiful account I think you've mentioned, which makes us think that if, I'm talking about the next stage where we do end up supporting our relatives, then what is the intention behind? Is it to boast upon our favor? Is it to speak about our favor in front of the other family members, to belittle them that, you know, I did this for him and he did that to me, so and so forth. So this example of Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala, and this golden principle of Islam where we need to look after our relatives the way we are meant to look after them, not the way we presume that it should be done. The way Islam requires us to look after them, if we abide by this golden principle, then many of the problems that we face in our families nowadays, many of the main unrest that we find in our society, that would also be removed, inshallah.
I think, Wasim bhai, would you say I'm correct to say that many of the, you know, generally family problems we have is because of our own close relatives? Would you say that's true? Because I think that, yeah, because people from outside, they don't cause as much trouble to us as our own family. Why? Because we're spending more time with our own relatives, aren't we? We're spending more time with them, and when you spend more time with them, then there's more possibility of trouble, of difference of opinions. And a difference of opinion could lead to an argument. And an argument, you know, pride comes into it, and all sorts of things, arrogance. And due to this, you know, you may think, oh, who does he think he is? Who does she think she is speaking to me like this or saying this? What do you think?
Definitely. And the biggest problem again over here is that when we are talking about fulfilling the rights of relatives or looking after them, the problem is when we do not do this, what happens is that then many evils, they start, you know, overtaking us. For example, jealousy, ego, arrogance, all these spiritual illnesses, they start playing their part.
We are the same blood, aren't we? At the end of the day, we are the same blood, alhamdulillah. Those people, our relatives, they are our relatives. Now, if we are to be together, this is the path of righteousness. This is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the path of the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we were to break up, this is the path of the shaitan. And it is the shaitan who wishes to break us up. I remember my father telling us, giving us an example, that there were two brothers. You know, they used to do business together. And then those two brothers, they were upset with each other. And one of the brothers said to his friend that, look, now I want you to become partners with me rather than my own brother. And that friend said to him, look, no matter what happens, I can never take the place of your brother. I was shocked to hear this. He says, I can never take the place of your brother. My father always tells me, and this is, mashallah, one of those messages which my father always gives, you know, us, alhamdulillah, as a family. He says that your relatives are your relatives. They are your own blood. And there'll be a time when, and alhamdulillah, we've seen this, When you are truly in trouble, you know, somebody else, a friend cannot truly take the place of your brother. A friend cannot truly take the place of, sometimes you think your father or anybody else. No, they can't. Yes, that friend said it. He said, look, I wish for you to become a partner with me rather than my brother. And he says, no, I will never be able to truly stick with you like a brother. Have your brother with you. Why? Because your brother will be there when you're happy, also when you are sad. When you are at ease, also when you have a problem. Even if you're to lose all your money, your brother is still your brother. But a friend is there when maybe you're at ease, he's there to share. If you've got money, he's there to share. But maybe if you're to lose everything, then what good are you? Because that's this generally, if you think about, although it shouldn't be like this, but friends are just people of interest, aren't they? If you think about it, why are you somebody's friend? Either because you are in the same type of business, either because maybe you may be very rich, but you have to give this person some sort of benefit, even if that's the benefit of just hanging around with another person. So you may think, no, this person never tries to take any money or anything. It's true, he may not, but you are giving him some sort of benefit. Now, if you were to lose this position, if you were to maybe lose all your money, will he be as interested in you as he is now? Whereas your brother is not there for things which change. You know, money comes and goes, doesn't it? A job, it comes and goes. You know, maybe a position, it comes and goes. But blood, does that come and go with somebody? No, once it's come, it never goes. It's always there. You can never purchase more. You can never gain any more. So what you must remember is nothing can take the place of blood. This is what I think. What do you think, Wasimbai?
Beautifully, I think, put together. And again, what we need to understand is that we need to give precedence to our relatives over non-relatives, because the place of relatives cannot be taken by the outsiders. And then, again, when the time of need comes, there are many things, Shabazwai, which perhaps I wouldn't be able to share with you, but I can share with my brother. And there wouldn't be any such thing which I can't share with them, which I can share with you. So, of course, the relatives are there, and there's no alternative. No one can take place of the relatives. And again, you see, Islam is such a beautiful religion that the principles that it has given us not only betters our hereafter, but if you look closely into it, alhamdulillah, it also reforms our society. It also resolves many of the problems that we are facing in day-to-day basis, in our families, in our social life, in our social circle. The problem is that we move away from those principles of Islam, from those teachings of Islam. Now, if, Shabazi, for example, mashallah, you brought the discussion of a father into play. When we talk about a father, just take this relationship, for example, father and son. Nowadays, how many of us, prioritize ma'adullah of our friends over our father? When was it last time we spent half of the time that we normally spend with our friends with our father? When was it last time that we spoke to our mother as politely as we do to our friends? So because of this disbalance of our priorities being set right, unfortunately, we see a disbalance in our social life, in our social circles, in our family lives. And if this is the case in this world, then don't we think that the same would be in the hereafter, which is a matter of a serious and more severe concern? So Islam, alhamdulillah, is practical religion, teaches us how to live a life in this world as well as in the hereafter, alhamdulillah.
I'm just thinking, why is it that we don't spend as much time with our parents as we do with our friends? And I think the reason would be is because generally we think parents are boring, which is, I don't mean to put it like that, Wasimbai. It sounds bad.
Same note, I mean, today, let's suppose someone says that, we've grown up today, we've moved along the time, and unfortunately, our elderly father, our elderly parents, they're still, back in the days, and they're very boring, etc. Imagine if they had thought the same when we were toddlers, when we were little babies. Imagine if they had thought the same. At that time, they were ahead of the time, and we didn't even know how to, speak. But our parents didn't think the same. They left their desires for our future. Whatever we are today, it is for the sake of our parents. And today, we think we've grown up so much that we can turn around and say to our parents that you don't even know how to use an iPhone. You don't even know how to use this tablet. Why are you wasting my time?
Exactly, Wasim Bhai. Exactly. So the reason is our belief, isn't it? What we need to understand is that what's right, what's wrong, is not sometimes by our own logic, no. It's by the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Whatever the Qur'an determines to be right, that is right. Whatever the Qur'an determines to be wrong, that's what is wrong. And this is what we must accept and understand. That in reality, that's what's better for our society. Alhamdulillah. That we may think, yes, or, you know, and this is sometimes true. That many times we can't even, for example, I've had this. Where I've, for the majority of my life, my mother's passed away now, may Allah Ta'ala grant her Jannah. But for the majority of my life, I wasn't able to have a good conversation with my own parents because I couldn't speak my own language properly. You know, now I've tried more, alhamdulillah. I've tried to, try to fill that gap. But it's still difficult because there's a huge difference and I'm one of the youngest of the brothers. Allahu Akbar, Wasim Bhai. So sometimes it does get quite difficult, doesn't it? But what we must understand is why we need to do it. It's not always for our own benefit. If we are always going to think for our own benefit, oh no, look, he's not giving me no benefit now. Maybe he did when I was young, but now he's not giving me any benefit. You know, I'm independent now. No, my dear viewers, we need to think we're doing it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do it. Because this is truly, remember, that you may think, okay, wealth or things they may not need, but you know, they have so many other things they can give you, which nobody else can give you, really. But that you can only attain by spending time with them. Wisdom is one of those. What your father can tell you, a person outside cannot tell you this. A friend cannot tell you this. Only honestly, the things a father, a mother can tell you, Allahu Akbar, is something which cannot be matched by anybody else.
As you mentioned that, unfortunately, we try to measure everything based upon our weak intellect. Based upon our limited intellect, whereas once a person sets the parameter to be the Quran and the Hadith, that's where the issues get resolved. But that is the problem. We sort of think that we are, you know, the best amongst all. We have the best of the intellect, and that's where the problem starts coming. What was the reason for Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami, rahmatullahi ta'ala, to become the Wali of Allah Almighty? What was the reason behind it? Prioritizing his relations, and especially looking after and serving his mother. And the dua of the mother made him a shining star of sainthood. But what was the very account that you mentioned in the beginning of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, what was the reason for the revelation of verse of the Quran? You see, we're talking about the Quran, Shehbaz Bhai, and how honored we feel by talking about the Quran, you know, the verses of Allah Almighty, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And imagine the Sahaba, and especially Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that a verse was revealed for him on that very occasion. And what was the reason for that? It was for establishing the fact of looking after the relatives. So it shows us the dignity, the honor, the eminence of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as well as how important it is for us to set our priorities right, especially in regards to our relatives.
MashaAllah. For all your time. Honestly, it's good to have you, especially after so long. MashaAllah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. Wasim Bhai, to be honest, you know, whenever I think of you, most of the time, let's just say, whenever I think of you, MashaAllah, I think of Ghulami Rasool. There's a reason why some viewers would already know, some wouldn't, but inshallah, maybe another time you'll find out. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, Wasim Bhai, as well as your family. Inshallah, again, Jazakallahu khairah for your time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi
wa barakatuh. Madhi viewers of Madhani Shalom, mashallah, that was our respected Wasim Bhai from London. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Alhamdulillahi azzawajal. We have a Quranic wonder. Let's see what we have for today, inshallah, azzawajal. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
When Qabil killed Habil, Qabil was worried that what to do with the corpse of this dead brother, as no one had ever died prior to this. Therefore, Qabil kept on wandering around carrying the corpse of his brother on his back for many days. Then he saw two crows quarreling and one killing the other. Then the living crow dug a pit with its beak and paws, and after placing the dead crow in it, it filled it with the soil. From this scene, Qabil learnt that the corpse should be buried in the ground. Therefore, he dug a grave and buried the corpse of his brother in it. The Holy Quran has described this event in the following words. So Allah Azza wa Jal sent a crow scratching the ground to show him, Qabil the killer, how to bury his brother's corpse. He, that is Qabil, said, "Woe to me! I was not even able to be like this crow that I could bury my brother's corpse." And he remained regretful. The moral views of Madni Channel that we get from this story is that in order to acquire knowledge, a human being is dependent even on the help of small creatures like a crow. We have also come to know that whenever someone is confronted by the worldly problems, Allah Azza wa Jal is so gracious and compassionate unto us that He Azza wa Jal shows the path that leads us towards the remedy of the problems through different means, even through birds or animals. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is in the hadith that it is farz upon every Muslim to seek knowledge. So, I humbly request the viewers of Madani Channel, seek knowledge, for it is the path to success. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah عز وجل, you are watching Rise and Shine, MashaAllah. The daily question, what was today's question? Today's question, my viewers, was which prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala split the moon into two? There are four options. Was it the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam? Option number two, was it Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam? Option number three, was it Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam? Or option number four, was it Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam? One is the correct answer. Question is, which is the correct answer? Which of these four great prophets, yes, they perform miracles, but which performed the miracle of splitting the moon into two? Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you. My dear viewers, today we were speaking about relatives. Be there for your relatives. Because as we've really said, that the relatives are the closest people to you, inshallah. People who should be there, would be there, inshallah. Not only at times of happiness, but also at times of sadness. Things you can't share with others, you can't share with them. Inshallah, they can help you. And this is how it should be. It should be you helping them, them helping you. And remember, tables turn. Don't think, oh, you know, they're not doing nothing for me. You know, why should I do so much for them? Tables turn, my dear viewers. There may be a time when they are in need. Maybe right now they are in need of you and you are helping them. And you may think it's only one-sided, but a time may come when, you know, you need them. And this really, it happens. It happens. And, you know, something which comes to mind is there were these two sisters. There were these two sisters, my dear viewers. And they had children, and they said, look, I'm going to marry my son to your daughter. And it said about the daughter that her eye vision, it was quite weak. She required glasses. And it was getting very weak, her vision was. And one day, the two sisters, they had an argument. This happens, you know, people have arguments. It's okay. People have arguments. It's about how you react to them. It's about making up after having the argument. So these two sisters, they had an argument. And one of the sisters then said that there's no way, you know, this is how you are. I'm not going to marry my flawless, you can say, son, my perfect son, to your blind daughter. Allahu Akbar. Is this what she has gone and said? You know, this would hurt a person.
Really, this would hurt a person. This is a person's own sister. It's their own sister saying this. And this is what happened, that she said to her sister that there's no way I'm going to marry my perfect, well, the word perfect wasn't used, but she was making out as if, yes, perfect son to your blind daughter. And then that same lady, that same day, this lady, she goes home and she says to her son that, oh son, you know, there's this leakage, there's this problem, you're going to help me fix it. Let's fix it. And there's a heavy piece of metal which they try moving and it falls. And it falls and it lands on the eye, taking out the eye of her own son. Taking out the eye of her own son. She was just saying about another person's daughter, her own sister's daughter, not even another person's daughter. She was just saying about her own sister's daughter. You know, she's gone blind just due to her weak vision. My son is perfect. And what's happened? At that moment, this is what came to mind. Oh, what have I said? Now, sometimes remember those things which come out of your mouth. You know, once they've come out, you can never take them back in. Once they've come out, my dear viewers, you can never take them back in. So be careful what you say, especially, you know, look at things like this. Don't have that pride. Don't think, oh yeah, look what I'm doing for you. Because you don't know what could happen tomorrow. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes, that's what will happen. We shouldn't, you know, think, oh, you know, everything is perfect for me and, you know, nothing can go wrong. Really, my dear viewers, they were the biggest and the greatest of people who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed. And even killed us with a fly. Yes, even with a fly, my dear viewers. Allahu Akbar. Please always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the relatives you have and maintain a good unity, brotherhood with your relatives. Remember, your relatives, inshallah, yes, yeah, they may be doing something wrong. Everybody, who's perfect? Nobody is perfect. We are not perfect. Why can we expect them to be perfect? Think, at the end of the day, they are my relatives. I have a duty for my relatives. When they need something, I need to be there for them. And even if they're not doing something for me, because a time will come, inshallah, you continue being there for them. You will find out, inshallah, one day, how they will be there for you too. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah. That's all for now, my dear viewers. Please do remember, you must respect, honor your family. The answer to the question, yes, it was quite an easy one today, wasn't it? The correct answer is that yes, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, option number one, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who had split the moon into two. So one person, he said, you know, a leader of Yemen, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, look, people are saying this about you, that about you. I wish to know for myself. Are you really, truly a prophet or are you a magician? You know, what you are. I wish to know this for myself. Show me, split the moon into two. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, subhanAllah, splits the moon into two. That's all for now. Inshallah, we shall return with more rise and shine. Continue to watch Madani channel. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. Sallu al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end and the sun will rise.